This is the Pundits Podcast, sponsored by BetBright.
So Man City's summer transfer spree has now come to £230 million. No one's spent more than that. Much of that is down to, obviously, Pep Guardiola. He's got rid of half the squad. How much does he have to rebuild? I mean, what's he doing?
Oh, he's given himself a hell of a lot of work, hasn't he? But, I mean, that's kind of what you would expect from Pep Guardiola. You can understand, I think, the Man City team he found was the result of years and years of poor signings, to be honest. Man City have always spent a lot of money, but I don't think they've signed a lot of players in recent years who you would say was worth the money. Perhaps, obviously, like players like Kevin De Bruyne and David Silva have been excellent signings, but particularly in defence, I mean, I read that this was before the signing of Benjamin Mendy, that five of the top eight most expensive players in history, or defenders I should say, were Manchester City players. I think that was six out of nine now that Mendy signed. So they've just been throwing money at this defensive problem. I don't know if Pep Guardiola is really the best person to fix a defensive problem, given his certainly his past at Barcelona, it was kind of the weak point of his team. But yeah, understandable that he has brought so many players in. Not so understandable some of the fees, but then I suppose he would argue that that's not really down to him, that's more the club that would push those transfers through.
Mm-hmm. What about yourself? Do you think he's left himself with quite a lot to do? I mean, what do you even think of the signings as well that he's made?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that we're now moving into the second season of Pep's time at Manchester City, and he's still, or we don't, and I don't think he does either, really seems to know where his team is coming from. At Bayern Munich and at Barcelona, he seemed to have a very clear idea of what he wanted and how he was going about it. I mean, famously, it's been famously categorised or written about his first season at Bayern Munich. And yeah, sure, some consider, you know, the book about him to be simply propaganda to an extent. But even the most pessimistic person would suggest, yeah, he still knew what he was doing. He still knew where he wanted to get to with the players he had. I don't think he's got that at Manchester City, and I'd echo largely what Graham was saying. He did pick up a team that had won the Premier League. It's not as if they were, you know, they were spiralling out of control or anything, but it needed reinvestment, and I'm still not entirely sure if they're there yet.
The problem for Pep is that the pressure is now on. I mean, when he took on the Manchester City job, I think everyone accepted that it was probably the toughest job he'd had so far at Barcelona and Bayern Munich. He had teams that were in the upper echelon of European football. They were already kind of set for years ahead. At Manchester City, he was brought in to rebuild that team. So his first season, he gets a bit of a bye, and they finished in the Champions League places, so acceptable. But this season, they're expected to challenge and probably win the Premier League title, and that's where all the risk comes from this summer, because he's got rid of, especially in defence, he's got rid of four fullbacks. He got rid of Alexander Kolarov, Bakary Sagna, Pablo Zabaleta and Gael Clichy. That's literally every fullback at the club. He's got rid of them all, and he's expected to sign central defenders, and he signed a goalkeeper as well. That's a lot of pieces to come together and to form a title winning team, and I think maybe it'll take another year. The question is, I mean, yes, he probably will get another year, but in another year's time, the pressure's going to be, you know, unbearable for him.
Yeah, something he's not probably experienced either, as you alluded to before, with Bayern and Barcelona. Obviously, don't want to diminish what he achieved, but he had it made in a certain way with the players he was given when he came into the jobs. But, I mean, what do you think of the fullbacks? We can start there. What do you think of the plethora of fullbacks that he's signed? I mean, are they good signings? Do you see them working in Pep's team and the way he plays?
Yeah, I mean, we've said on the show in the past when we spoke about Man City briefly that what I found baffling was that, you know, despite what Pep might be trying to do up front, he still had two fullbacks who were, you know, at Arsenal 5 years ago. He was still using, you know, Clichy and Sagna on the right, and, you know, there's variations as well. But so I can't fault him for simply saying, right, we need to get rid of these guys, we need to bring other people in. If Kyle Walker's the answer, you have to wonder what the bloody question is, don't you? Because Mendy on the left makes sense, but Danilo and Kyle Walker are both players who might do okay. Kyle Walker's obviously a proven Premier League player, but I'm not so sure. And, you know, as you said quite rightly, Neil, he has got a history at Barcelona and at Bayern Munich of not only maybe taking his eye off defence, but almost entirely neglecting it, in the sense that, you know, at Bayern Munich he had a history of taking the best players from defence and trying to turn them into midfielders, or turning fullbacks into centre-backs or fullbacks into centre-midfielders. It's his entire philosophy of playing football is that you don't have to defend because you always have the ball, or you're always pressuring the team in that half. And I think he's still struggling to adapt that to the Premier League, and it'd be interesting to see if this new look defence will help with that or not.
Yeah, I completely understand them getting rid of all the fullbacks. The one that I don't understand in terms of bringing in is Danilo. You know, I watched Danilo a lot at Real Madrid, and he became a bit of a scapegoat for Real Madrid fans and the Madrid press. He's nowhere near as bad as that would suggest, but he's equally not very good. And I don't know, he's not going to get in the team ahead of Kyle Walker, and obviously we've talked before about the transfer fee for Kyle Walker. But looking beyond that, if you can, he is a proven Premier League defender, and he will start in that first team. And Benjamin Mendy on the left side, I think, is a good signing as well, again, looking beyond transfer fees. But Danilo, it seems like he's swapped being second choice at Real Madrid for being second choice at Manchester City, unless Pep Guardiola, as you kind of referred to there, Stefan, is going to do a Pep Guardiola or a Philip Lahm and move Danilo into another position. And it's impossible to tell what position. I mean, Danilo isn't a particularly he's not like Philip Lahm, and that Philip Lahm's exceptionally good on the ball. Danilo's very much a very physical player. You know, he's all about speed and strength and getting up that right wing. So I don't see where else he can play. I saw suggestions over the weekend that Yaya Toure, of course, he signed a new deal at the start of June. He was a player expected to leave the club as well. Maybe Pep Guardiola sees him as a defensive player, which would be ridiculous to me, but he's got past for it, as you were referenced there, Stefan. And I actually remember when Pep Guardiola was appointed Man City boss, on Twitter people saying, oh, can't wait for Yaya Toure to be turned into a flying right back. Well, this wouldn't be too far off that, you know. This would be peak Pep Guardiola. But maybe, you know, maybe he must have a plan in mind, Pep
You'd
Guardiola.
You'd hope so for that amount of money.
You would think so, and he's the kind of guy who does have a plan for everything. But that was the failings of his first season at Man City, was he didn't have a plan. So I don't know, maybe this is a different Pep Guardiola we're seeing.
I guess the other thing to talk about is they are light up front. I think there's no bones about it. They are lacking like a kind of a decent strike force. They've got Aguero. He doesn't seem to fancy Aguero.
Well, I was going to say there, Aguero is obviously one of the best in Europe, but for whatever reason, again, another Pep Guardiola doing a Pep Guardiola doesn't seem to fancy Sergio Aguero. So yeah, they are in the market.
Yeah, so do you think they need a true number nine? Is that something they should be signing before the window's out? And it's also, who can they sign at this point? Do you mean a lot of yeah, players have already moved? Or,
well, there's been a summer of like strikers coming and going. Man United have got their house in order. Chelsea have got their house in order. Manchester City, again, I mean, they've spent all their time trying to sign these defenders, a few midfielders maybe, but Bernardo Silva obviously will do very well in midfield. But if Pep really doesn't like Aguero, you would have thought that would be the first thing first. Sort out who you're playing up front. If it's going to be him, Jesus, whoever, then sort it out, because Aguero's still a fantastic player. Now, you might argue he's maybe not as good as he was, but he's still perfectly good enough for that Man City team. That's not where the issue is in that Manchester City side. So you wonder, if is it a case that they perhaps just don't get on?
I mean, it's very Eto'esque when he was at Barcelona, Pep. Yeah. You know, Eto was one of the best strikers in Europe and had a fantastic record at Barcelona before Pep, and for whatever reason, Pep Guardiola just didn't fancy him.
Yeah, I mean, the underlying message here seems to be that there's just no real preparation. I wonder if that's quite literally what it is, because obviously at Barcelona, he'd been on the youth team, he knew the players coming through, and when he arrived at Barcelona as the first team coach, he knew exactly what he wanted to do. He very quickly decided who's staying, who's going, and then he promoted the rest at Bayern Munich. He took a year out. He agreed to join the club 6 months before he actually did, so he spent a huge amount of time in the sabbatical deciding what to do. In Man City, he's just parachuted straight in there, and we're now two seasons in, or we're about to start the second season, and we still don't actually know what he's doing with his team, whether it's up front or in defence. So I think a lack of preparation seems to be the underlying thing here.
I think that Guardiola's pinned a lot on Alexis Sanchez with regards to who he needs up front. That seems to be their number one target. It's turning into a bit of a saga. Arsenal seem to be digging their heels, as you would expect and hope if you're an Arsenal fan. They're digging their heels in over it. And it seems to be there's a growing consensus that maybe he won't move to Manchester City. I think a lot of people took it as a given he would end up there. So, you know, once again, it's been a summer of improvisation in the Premier League in terms of strikers. Obviously, Chelsea and Man United did a swap on their number one striker targets. So maybe Manchester City will need to do the same thing. I saw tentative rumours that maybe Aubameyang might be a player. I mean, is that someone from Germany that Guardiola was admirable of, or you know, is would that work well in his system?
Or, yeah, would
Aubameyang Bertrand do?
Yeah, would. He's a fantastic player and he'd fit in perfectly in the Premier League. But Dortmund have just came out this last week saying, we're not selling him now. If we were going to sell him, we would have sold him by now. It's too late in the summer and we won't have enough time to sign a replacement. So, and there weren't any bids either, so it's not as if Manchester City ever were interested, because if they were, they would have made a bid by now.
That's the thing as well. Sanchez, there's no denying, brilliant player, proved at Premier League level, like, has pulled Arsenal to victories countless times. Is he really the kind of player, I mean, I suppose you would always want him in your team, you would never turn him down, but is he the kind of player that they need? Do they really need him, or are there other departments in that team that he should be sorting out first before he tries to get somebody like Alexis Sanchez on his side?
Well, the thing with this is, Alexis Sanchez for Arsenal has... he's better when he's playing off a central striker. So you could actually argue the signing of Lacazette will benefit Alexis Sanchez, you know. But Pep Guardiola sees him as a false nine of sorts. He wants him to lead the line. Now, that is something he has done for Arsenal before. He did it at a point last season when Wenger dropped Olivier Giroud from his team. But it's not his best position. So once again, it's Pep Guardiola taking a player and kind of turning him into the player he wants him to be rather than the player he is. So again, even if Alexis Sanchez signs and he's... I think there's a case that maybe he's the best player in the Premier League. There are questions over that as well.
Do you know who they should have signed from Arsenal? Giroud.
Right, I want to hear this.
Well, because, you know, you're perfectly right in saying that if they sign Sanchez on paper, like, yeah, he's one of the best players in the Premier League, blah, blah, blah. But he's no different from, you know, who they've got. They've got, what, Sterling, De Bruyne, Da Silva. They've got a whole host of number 10s and wingers who play around what should be a traditional number nine.
Thing.
Yeah, but it was his whole thing till Bayern Munich when he decided that, you know, if you actually have a good target man in Lewandowski, it actually works. Now, I'm not saying Giroud is Lewandowski by any means, but if they, you know, if they can't get Sanchez, if they can't get Aubameyang, which I don't think they're ever interested in, there's no reason why they can't go out and be like, right, well, let's go get a player. And Giroud's stats speak for themselves. He is a proven target man Premier League goal scorer, and in that system where he has done at Bayern Munich, where he has a traditional number nine who he works a whole array of wingers and number 10s around, then it can work.
That would be quite something, Giroud at Man City. I mean, he's extremely handsome. He would improve them in that yeah, regard, certainly.
He'd improve any team in that regard, man. Blushing. But it's that thing as well where, like, if he was to go, it would be just extraordinary. I think that would be one of the biggest shots, because he's just, for me, just not a Pep player at all. As you say, he's got a good record, but I don't know.
I think they would need to be aiming higher. I mean, and that's the problem for Man City, is that a lot of the targets have gone. I mean, Lukaku, if you're looking for a target man who's not really... in Pep's ordinary, normal mold, then Lukaku would have been the guy. Morata would have worked as well, a bit slightly different. I mean, he's not a target man, but he's more of a central striker. And, you know, City are getting close to August now, and you're at this point, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel. And also in August, you have to pay more money. You tend to have to pay more money in the transfer market for players, and City are already paying $53 million for Kyle Walker. So, yeah, you know, where does that go?
Do you see that kind of reeks of desperation a wee bit, the kind of fees they've paid, or is it just means must? It's a kind of what the transfer market's like.
Yeah, I mean, it echoes to what happened at Bayern Munich, in my opinion. We saw the club go out and sign key players for, well, not astronomical fees in the grand scheme of things, but quite out of general behaviour for Bayern Munich. We saw Mehdi Benatia, Götze. They signed Arturo Vidal, and they also signed on the wing Douglas Costa. Four or five guys who maybe Vidal excluded have actually never really gone on to do much for me. In fact, almost all of them have never left the club. But these were all guys who were brought in each season when Pep said, right, I need someone here, I need someone here, I need someone here. And it's almost like panic buys, you know. And that's exactly what I'm seeing at Manchester City.
I wonder if that's actually a consequence of the pressure Pep puts on the boardrooms of these clubs. I mean, you see a guy who says, you know, I need this player and I need this player now. And the club are just left to, with no negotiation time, and they just go out and pay the money for whoever. I wonder if that's a consequence.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Pep's very much a kind of guy who has a system and he doesn't change his system for anyone. And instead of maybe saying, well, I want a player who does this, but I've actually got Sergio Aguero, who say, go find me someone who'll do this, rather than turn Sergio Aguero into the player he wants him to do. Now, there are exceptions. For example, Philip Lahm stands out in that. But it's more along the lines of, like you said, he's very meticulous. He's a perfectionist. And when he's at clubs, when he's at the array of super clubs he's been at, it's probably easy for him to say, go find me someone who does this, rather than, you know. And the other point I wanted to make as well was the simple fact that we're making all this joke or nonsense about the players that they've signed, the players they've sold, the money they've spent. at the end of the day, there is a good squad there. There's no denying that. I mean, Manchester City could start the season tomorrow, and it's not as if they don't have the squad to compete in the Premier League. So, yeah, we can you know, derail the club all we want about the money they spent on Kyle Walker, the players they signed. But at the end of the day, Pep Guardiola has to get his head down and start doing some coaching, because he's got a genuinely solid squad, at least a solid number 11 there, of some of the best players in the Premier League, and there's no excuses why he can't make that team work.
Thank you for listening to the Pundits podcast, sponsored by BetBright. We'll be back again next week with another episode.